Welcome to the Born in the 80s podcast. I am back after a leave of sorts. Haven't done a podcast in about 3 months or so. Thanks for everybody who emailed their concerns, comments, and hate. All of it was very much appreciated. The reason I took a layoff was a lot of personal things were going on. Job situation, school situation, family health problems, relationship problems. It all just sort of culminated for me in a couple months of shit. But most of those have been resolved and feeling pretty good. Also, Lexapro. I'm now on Lexapro. If you don't know what that is, it's a antidepressant type mood leveler to even me out with my anger issues, as so they're called. But I gotta admit, I was nervous to go on that type of medicine. I was on Prozac a couple years back, and it had some side effects, some sexual side effects, if you will. It basically made my penis not work, so I definitely had to go off that. Enhanced my problems, didn't make anything go better. So I was a little worried about Lexapro, you know, might kill my boner, and, you know, that would be awful. I need the bone. But it had a good side effect. It's, I can bang forever and not explode, if you will. I'm sure most of you didn't even want to hear that and or visualize me exploding, but I gave it to you, so enjoy that one. Sorry if I'm a little bit rusty. I might have a couple of ums, ahs, and whatevers. But, you know, that's what's been going on in my life. I also got an Xbox 360, so that has been a bright spot. Been playing a lot of Madden 08 lately. So if you want to challenge me in a game of Madden 08, the user Xbox Live tag is JRD5000. So join me up there, challenge me to a game. I'll take all comers. Some of you may have figured out by now, but the little avatar picture for this episode is a picture of I support Ron Paul, which I do. For you people not in the United States, Ron Paul is a person running for the President of the United States. Not a lot of people are taking him seriously, and he has a snowball's chance in hell of actually getting elected, but if you look at his politics, I agree with about 90% of what he has to say. He's a guy that wants smaller government, and really believes in the Constitution, and he makes so much sense. You know, it's like we're living in bizarro world where the guy who makes the most sense is taken the least seriously, and the people that want to stay in Iraq for 100 years are, you know, fucking, oh, they're front runners now, so it's ridiculous. So he's the only candidate I really believe in. The people on the Democratic side, people on the Republican side, most of them are just, you know, assholes of, I can't support staying in Iraq, so that's one of my big issues. And I also don't like a guy who's real religious. Like, a lot of people my age are, you know, Barack Obama, he's the new hope. Well, he was going around to churches saying he wants to bring God's kingdom to the United States, so I don't really dig, you know, the whole big on religion deal. I've also been watching the war between Scientologists and hackers lately, which has been interesting. If you remember a couple episodes back, I kind of defended Scientology a bit, saying their beliefs are just as crazy as any other religion. Well, that is true, but I have been watching some documentaries and some other things on Scientology. And their beliefs are just as crazy as anything else, but the tactics they take against people are pretty horrendous. They follow them, they try to disparage them, they try to dig up whatever little dirt they can. They're a very aggressive cult, basically. Bubba the Love Sponge has been messing with him lately. He had the great-grandson of L. Ron Hubbard on, so everybody should check that out. Also, a documentary on BBC is Scientology and Me. It has a very good look into Scientology, and they follow this British reporter around and do all this kind of crazy shit. And as you can see, the, you know, Tom Cruise Scientology video, which was, you know, that explains itself. So let's talk a little bit of movies. I have been keeping up on movies. Let's talk about Cloverfield, you know, what's been sweeping the nation. And this will have plenty of spoilers, so if you don't want it, skip ahead. Cloverfield. Initial impressions is the first 20 minutes of this movie is pretty much fucking unwatchable. It's like a party scene, and basically, there's shaky cam all over the place going to about characters I don't give a shit about. So if you're going to see Cloverfield, my first bit of advice is come in about 20 minutes into it, because the first 20 minutes are fucking unwatchable. Let me say, like, I enjoyed the premise of this movie. It's a monster movie. It's a Godzilla movie, but the perspective of the little man running away from the monster. I dug that. I dig those kind of movies. The problem is the execution. The handycam stuff worked in parts and bits and pieces, but a movie of a handycam bullshit is fucking ridiculous and basically unwatchable. There are some really cool moments in this movie that are just spectacular and give you chills. You know, the Statue of Liberty's head flying past these people. There's a subway scene with these little monsters coming at them. There's a lot of cool moments. The first time you see the army guys fighting the monster, those things are fucking spectacular. But it's those, it's the time between those moments that is, it's a lot of it is unbearable. I think the dialogue is awful in this movie. The guy who holds the camera, HUD, has a couple of funny lines, but that's about it. I would have liked to seen handy cam in certain points of this movie and the rest be on a dolly, you know, a steady cam type of perspective on things. I hope they do that for the sequel. They're talking about a sequel being, oh, another handy cam thing, but just a different perspective on it. So I wouldn't really want to watch that. Overall, this has spectacular moments in it. The monster's cool, but the handy cam, I feel, is horrible. The first 20 minutes is awful, and the ending of this movie kind of pissed me off. It kind of fell apart at the end. So that's what I would say. It is worth a watch if you are into monster movies and things like that, but don't go in believing, like, this is the huge greatest movie ever, you know, all that sort of hype. I believe this movie was way overhyped. The last movie before Cloverfield I watched in the theaters was Alien vs. Predator 2. I went into this movie thinking, okay, this is gonna have shitty acting, shitty writing, plot holes everywhere, you know. So I went in thinking that, and I was not disappointed. All those things were awful. But it has a lot of good action and monster movie moments. If you go into this movie thinking all those things are going to be bad, but just enjoy the movie for what it is. It's a monster movie with some action in it. You know, just enjoy what it is. You won't be disappointed. This is easily worth a rental, in my opinion, if you're a fan of Aliens or Predator. Don't expect it to be as good as, you know, the first Alien movie or the first Predator movie. It's definitely on par with the maybe second Predator movie, maybe a little bit better. You know, the second Predator was with Danny Glover in it and fucking in the city and stuff, so it's a little bit better than that. So that's my perspective on Alien vs. Predator 2. Also watched Eastern Promises. This has Viggo Mortensen in it. It's about the Russian mafia in London. The story takes place as this 14-year-old girl who's pregnant has birth to a child and she dies. And this nurse who was taking care of the baby found a diary of the 14-year-old girl. Is trying to find the father. And she runs into the Russian mafia with Viggo Mortensen in it and some other people. I didn't really know. But anyways, this movie I thought was great. It had a lot of good action in it. The plot was pretty good. Viggo Mortensen's acting is superb. The things you might not like about it is there's a whole nude fight scene where, you know, Viggo Mortensen has his dong flapping around while he's killing people, which is a very intense fight scene, but some people may not like to see Viggo Mortensen's dong flapping around. Overall, I really enjoyed this movie, though the ending, it left me shortchanged. The ending was more like the ending to a second act instead of a third act, so you wanted to see more and what happened after that, but it's definitely worth a rental. And yes, I even watched another movie than, what movie was it? Fuck. I just forgot right now. Oh yeah, Shoot 'Em Up. This has Clive Owen in it, and, what's his fucking name? He's in everything. He played Howard Stern's boss in Private Parts. Fuck. I don't know. I forgot his name right now. Anyways, this movie does not have much of a plot to it. It's kind of like a, it's weird. It's like a mix of an action movie in, like, a Bugs Bunny cartoon. It's very odd. The plot in this movie is not very good. The acting's kind of shitty, but for a shoot 'em up movie, you know, just a action shooting everywhere movie, it's pretty cool. Clive Owen pulls that off pretty easy. So if you dig movies that have little plot and have a lot of good action, you will want to see this movie. I Am Legend. I went and seen this movie in the theaters. I'm a big fan of the book. I own the book, hardcover. It cost me a pretty penny, but it's a nice copy of it. A big fan of the book. And that's where things go wrong in this movie. Basically, this movie has nothing to do with the book other than the Will Smith's character's name in I Am Legend. Everything else about this movie has nothing to do with the book. So if you're a fan of the book, you will hate this movie. But if you judge it as just a monster movie by itself, it's not a bad movie. Will Smith does a really good acting job. The action's pretty good. I did not like the monsters in this movie. They were supposed to be like vampire-type zombies from the book, but they were instead some sort of hairless, I don't know, beasts. They kind of look like Gollum, but on steroids. So as just a pure monster movie, it's worth a watch. But if you're a fan of this book, you will hate this fucking movie. So stay away if you're a fan of the book. I've also had a chance to catch up on some TV shows, start some new shows. First off, I want to talk about Dexter. I watched the first two seasons of Dexter. This show is about a serial killer who kills killers, basically bad guys. And he works for the police department in Florida. He's like a forensic blood splatter analysis guy. So he's like a tech type of dude. Basically, this guy has no emotions. He has a code that was taught to him by his stepfather. He's always had this like urge to kill, but his stepfather taught him this code. So he only kills killers, basically. People who escape the law. So a lot of it... The first season deals with... there's this killer called the Ice Truck Killer who is killing hookers and things like that and messing with Dexter. They know Dexter's a killer, so they're like playing a weird serial killer game with him. So the first season deals with that. The second season deals with... they find Dexter's hiding place where he hides all the chopped up bodies of these murderers. And so they do a big investigation where he's trying to elude capture because they don't know who it is yet, and he's trying to put it on someone else. So the second season deals with that. I thought this show was great. I heard about this show on the Totally Rad show. Those guys really didn't dig it, but a lot of people on their forum thought this was a really good show. And I have to agree with it. I find it fascinating. The guy, you can liken it to like an American Psycho, but a guy who has a code where he only murders people. And somebody who really has no emotions, how he deals with having a girlfriend to try to stay normal, how he deals with family members, how he just tries to project being normal, even though he's pretty hollow on the inside. So I found it really fascinating. I'm really looking forward to the third season. So everybody check out Dexter. You know, pick it up on DVD or whatever. Another show I watched the first couple seasons of is called Big Love. This is an HBO show. This deals with this guy who lives in the suburbs and who has three wives. He's a polygamist. He's a Mormon. He's a Mormon polygamist, and it basically shows how he tries to support his family, his dealings with these like militant-type polygamists on this compound, how he deals with his three wives, his kids' problems, his wife's problems. There's a lot of like crazy shit that goes on. It's like a weird polygamous soap opera almost. And there's something about the show I just found fascinating. I think the acting's really good. The stories are good. There's a lot of good crazy plot twists. So if that sounds interesting to you, I definitely recommend check out Big Love. It's a very interesting show. And the last show I want to recommend is Pushing Daisies. I've watched the first 5 episodes of the show. It's this weird... I don't know, it's about a guy who can touch the dead, and they can be alive for a minute, and he has to touch them again so they die again, or someone else close to them dies. It's a very weird premise. He joins with this detective who they solve crimes together and he gets money for it. Other than there's also a lot of crazy shit that happens, and it has like a weird surreal type feeling to it. The voiceover guy is the guy who does the Harry Potter audiobook, so he gives you that kind of feel about things. I definitely recommend this show. A very quirky, weird show, but I'm definitely enjoying it. Now it's time for a fan favorite, the porno pick of the week. This week, the porno film is Dorsal Airlines Flight. Here's a little bit of the dialogue. There's not really much to the dialogue to this movie.
As for me, I'm in charge of service.
That's about all the dialogue you could expect in this movie. It has this weird quality, like Vaseline is over the lens, so it has that weird dreamy quality to it. It also seems that there's also, this was a French porno film that they just like redubbed a little bit of audio over. So that was also a little bizarre too. Here's a little bit of the action. Overall, the chicks aren't that hot. They use condoms all throughout the movie, which are, I don't know, for some reason I don't really like, so overall, I give this a 3 dropping loads out of 10. You can find much better.
So, there you go. That's the way life is at Dorsal Airlines. There's every style of hostess. The stuck-up ones, the perverts, and best of all, me. Well, let's just say I'm not the only one. But if you're handsome, you're endowed with a good 21 centimeters, and you're traveling with Dorsal Airlines, then ask the Natasha. I'll make sure that you have everything you need.
Alrighty, I think we'll wrap up this show. Glad to be back. I'll try to keep out the once every 2 weeks format again. I'll try my best at it. Go to bornin80s.com. Check me out there. I haven't updated it in a little while. I'll definitely step up and try to update that. Also check out Tards, the Harold Hardidia comic book, self-published. That's at capspace.co.uk. There's also a link at bornin80s.com. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I'm sure he's doing just fine. Also, I'm on Gax. This is the second incarnation of Gax. I just joined up the other week. I just started to check it out. The last incarnation of Gax was pretty shitty, so I heard from an emailer that it was pretty good, so I joined up. It has some decent functionality, and yeah, so check that out. Also check out Co-Mutiny. I haven't listened to that podcast in a while, but I'm sure they have the same old brand of Scottish humor, we'll call it. It's for some, not for all, but, you know, just busting balls. So until next time, Lexapro numbs your penis, but in a good way.